chapter 24, verses 50 through 53. This is the reading of God's word. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they, after worshiping him, returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising God. Amen. Please be seated. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word that we may truly hear, and our faith will grow, we will be more like our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, through your word, let us see what our Lord has done, what he has accomplished for us. So let us see who we are in Jesus Christ even now, so that we may live as such person, living by faith. We pray that your word will be preached correctly, and all of us will hear and believe and obey your word. We thank you, and we pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we are looking at the last section of the book of Luke today. And like I told you before, next three times, we will look at the verse 49, which is about the coming of the Holy Spirit. And with that verse, we're going to look at some related verses in the Old Testament and the New Testament about the Holy Spirit and his work. And that will wrap up our study in the book of Luke. Then we'll go to 1 Thessalonians. So, today, Luke chapter 24, verse 50 through 53, it is about our Lord Jesus Christ's ascension to heaven. The story of his ascension is found only here and in chapter 1 of the book of Acts. Now, obviously, Mark chapter 16, verse 19 also has this story of ascension. But from Mark chapter 16, verse 9, all the way through 16:20, if you look at your Bible carefully, that section is in a bracket. Meaning the old and the reliable copies of the New Testament, they do not have this section. It might mean that section might not be in the original manuscript. We don't know. So when I come to that section, so when I preached through Mark, I ended at 16:8 because I don't have confidence that from verse 9 all the way to 20 is actually the word of God. And I don't want to take that chance. What if it is not? Then I'm preaching some words that is not the Bible as if it is the Bible. So only two places. Now we are to remind ourselves that our God accomplishes his eternal salvation according to the order of the redemptive periods that he had planned from the eternal beginning. And according to this plan, Jesus, through his death and resurrection, accomplishes the salvation of God's people, and he must ascend to heaven to begin the period of the Holy Spirit being poured upon God's church. According to Luke 24, verse 49, it is the period of God's people being clothed with power from on high. And coinciding with that period, The church is now called to go out to the ends of the world to be the witnesses of our Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 16, verse 7. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Thus, the Holy Spirit comes to the church so she participates in Jesus' work of proclaiming the repentance for forgiveness of sins in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Well, today's subject, the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, after his resurrection, goes to heaven to sit at the right hand of our God. It witnesses that Jesus has perfectly accomplished all the works that God has given him to do. It also witnesses that everything that Jesus has done for his people is accepted by the Father with pleasure. It witnesses that the kingdom of God is accomplished. And this was promised even from the Old Testament. When you read Daniel chapter 7, verse 13 to 14, this is what we read. I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a son of man was coming. And he came up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. So Daniel sees a vision, and there's a one like son of man riding the cloud coming to the throne of God. And this is what we're looking at, the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. Daniel 7:14, and to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. So in our passage, Luke chapter 24, we see the fulfillment of Daniel's promise, or Daniel's passage. Now, when we read Luke chapter 24, and please do that when you get home, we get the impression that Jesus' ascension happened on the day of his resurrection. Because Luke doesn't tell us anything to indicate that it is not. So it seemed like the ascension happened at the day of resurrection. But when we read Acts chapter 1, we see that his ascension happened 40 days after his resurrection. Acts chapter 1, verse 3. To these he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. So for 40 days, he showed himself to many people after the resurrection. Now, question arises here. No, it did for me. During those 40 days, as he appeared and disappeared, where did he go after the appearances during those 40 days? Well, we must say he went to heaven. But those incidences are not the official ascension that we normally speak of. Because the official ascension happens after those 40 days. Well, it is like the official coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came and worked even before the day of Pentecost, but his official coming, according to God's redemptive periods, was on the day of Pentecost. Just like it, after his resurrection, Jesus went to heaven after the appearances, but those are not the official ascension. So some people see today's passage as something that happened on one of those incidences of Jesus disappearing after the appearance. And they only see Acts chapter 1 as the only true official ascension of Christ. But Luke, who wrote both Luke and Acts, tells us in Acts chapter 1 what event he was writing about in book of Luke, in our passage, at the end of Luke. I mean, he should know. He's the one who wrote Luke and Acts. So if we go to Acts chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, the first account, meaning Luke, now this is, he's writing Acts here. The first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after he had by the Holy Spirit given order to the apostles whom he has chosen. So Luke tells us that in the book of Luke that he wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up to heaven, meaning until Jesus' ascension. Thus, the last verses of the book of Luke is about the official ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the same event that we read in Acts chapter 1, the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's look at these verses, 50 through 53. First, 50 and 51. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he parted from them and was carried into heaven. Here we have a phrase, he led them out. Led out. In Greek, it is used to translate the Hebrew word which we translated in English as Exodus. Yes, Jesus accomplishes the true Exodus, the Exodus from this world. And Jesus here lifts up his hands and blesses them. See, our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, therefore, since we have a high priest, great high priest, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. So our Lord Jesus Christ, who passed through the heavens, is our great high priest. And as such, he blesses his people. The Old Testament high priest, when he has finished his works in the high of the high priest, he comes out from the tabernacle and raises his hand and bless God's people. He does this to show that all that he has done, God has approved. Because if he makes a mistake in there, if he sins in there, he will die. So you will never see him come out on his own and bless God's people. So if you see him coming out and actually stand before you and blesses you, you know that everything that he has done for you, because he's representing you as a high priest, God has approved. So you're all smiling and you're happy because you know that. Leviticus chapter 9, verse 22 and 23, then Aaron lifted up his hands toward the people and blessed them. And he stepped down after making the sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace offerings. Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting. When they come out and bless the people, the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. See, our Lord also, after sacrificing himself as the perfect sacrifice, after perfectly accomplishing the salvation of his people as the high priest, he raises his hands with the nail scars and blesses his people. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 and 9, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth." And after he had said this, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And Jesus here blesses his people and promises the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is given as the guarantee of our eternal inheritance. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 14, "Who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory." So Holy Spirit is given to us as a pledge, or as a down payment, or as the guarantee of our inheritance. So he raises his hand. That's why when I do the benediction, I raise my hand. And I only say what God has said in his word. I don't add my words when I do benediction, because it is God blessing you as you go out to the world after worship. That's why when I do benediction, and when it's time for all of us to say amen, I put my hands down, because that is not what God is doing. So I put my hands down and I say amen. And you might not notice that kind of stuff, but there's a reason for what I do. So it is God blessing you, and that's what we need, his blessing. And he does bless us. And Jesus was carried up into heaven. He ascended into heaven. Now, what is the meaning of his ascension other than what we have already said? Jesus went into the eternal glory. He is now seated at the right hand of God, meaning he is seated at the throne of God with all the authority. Luke chapter 24, verse 26, "Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter his glory?" Timothy 3:16, "By common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. He who was revealed in the flesh was vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory." Acts chapter 3, verse 31a, "He is the one whom God exalted to his right hand as a prince and a savior." 1 Peter 3:22, "Who is at the right hand of God, having gone into heaven, after angels and authorities and powers have been subjected to him." Acts chapter 2, verse 35, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." Luke chapter 22, verse 69, "But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God." He ascends into heaven. Now, the ascension of Jesus Christ, it also anticipates his return. Acts chapter 1, verse 9 through 11, "And after he said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky, while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. They also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven. From heaven that he ascended into, he will come back again." Revelation chapter 1 verse 7, "Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. So it is to be. Amen." 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 7, "And to give relief to you who are afflicted, and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire." 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 10, "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead." That is Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath to come. And this is what we must affirm. The ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ, it was a physical ascension. He ascended into heaven with his resurrected, glorified body. With his ascension, the period in which he was with his people physically is now over until his return. And we saw this following principle many, many times. And this is what I want you to, you know, tell yourself once again. Jesus' life is our life. And when you read, like, Book of Luke, and whatever you see in the Book of Luke happening to Christ, you need to understand it happened also to you. His perfect life is our life. His death is our death. His burial is our burial. His resurrection is our resurrection, just like them. His ascension is our ascension. It is our spiritual present spiritual reality that has been already accomplished. In one day, and you know, in the future, when Jesus returns, we'll all resurrect to a glorified bodies and go into heaven and be with the Lord forever and ever. And as the guarantee of all this, the Holy Spirit has come to us. Our spiritual ascension is our already accomplished heavenly reality. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6, "And raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." This is our present reality, but it's not visible, so you must believe, because Bible says it. Now, if we want to be technical, exactly where are we sitting in heavenly places? Well, Revelation 3 verse 21 says, "He who overcomes." And who are the ones who overcome? Well, who believes in Jesus Christ, that is Son of God. And "He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." Now, obviously, you know, I don't know how this might look when we actually go to heaven. But our status in heaven is that we are kings. And kings sit on what? On thrones. And if we are kings in heaven, of course we're going to sit at thrones. But not just any throne, but sit at Jesus' throne with him. And now we're talking about status. You know, that's our position in heaven. This is amazing grace. You know, if you go out and just pick any Christian and say, hey, I'm sitting on the throne of Jesus Christ, they're going to think you're crazy. But that's what the Bible tells us. That's your heavenly status. You are king, reigning with Christ forever and ever. Revelation 22 verse 5, and there will no longer be any night, and they will not have need of the light of the Lamb, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them, and they will reign forever and ever. That's our position in heaven. That's why we're sitting at the throne. That's the picture. Whatever happened to Christ, it happened to us. Spiritually already, visibly later. So ascension already happened for us because we are already seated at the heavenly places in Christ. But when Jesus comes back, that reality will be visible. That we will actually, our bodies will resurrect to a glorified body, and it will unite to our already perfected spirits. And as a whole man, body and spirit, we will go to heaven, and we're going to be with the Lord forever. So, we're not just looking at what happened to Jesus. We're also looking at what happened to us. This is what Bible is all about. If it has nothing to do with you, then why do you need to know it? And that was a question, you know, growing up, long time ago. I always asking, what does that story has to, what does that have to do with me? But it has everything to do with you. It's your reality. Luke chapter 24, verse 52 and 53. And they, after worshiping him, returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising God. Now they all returned to Jerusalem. In verse 50, we saw that Jesus ascended into heaven at Bethany. But in Acts chapter 1, verse 12, we read, then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. So one place we see that he was, you know, ascended into heaven at Bethany, but in other place it says it's at Mount Olivet. Well, we go to Acts chapter 1, verse 12. It says, oh, we read that. So, how do we explain this? Luke chapter 19, verse 29. When he approached Bethphage and Bethany near the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of the disciples. So according to Luke 19:29, Bethany was near the Mount Olivet. Probably Bethany was located at the foot of the Mount Olivet. So it's referring to the same place. Anyway, all returned to Jerusalem. They came back to the temple, and they are waiting for the coming of the Holy Spirit. Now the disciples all believe that Jesus is the Son of God and God himself. Now their lives are filled with joy. worshiping and praising God with joy. Thus all has been prepared. All has been accomplished. And we see the beginning of the book of Acts. The beginning of the church age. This is how Jesus accomplished it all. And it is so amazing. You and I, we are participants of that exact reality. They continually worship God in the temple. Now, this does not mean that they were in the temple every second. No, as a big picture, their lives can be described as going to the temple and worshiping and praising. Just like how Christians are described even today. Oh, they go to church and they worship God. Yes, that's what we are. And that's what we do. Acts chapter 2, verse 46 and 47, day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Let me wrap this up. Our Lord Jesus Christ, He came as a man, but at the same time, as you know, always God, accomplishes heaven as He witnesses the reality of heaven. He bore our sins and died upon that cross to pay for our sins. And for our justification, He was resurrected from the dead. And our resurrected Jesus Christ, He sends Holy Spirit. And He comes to us and meets us and teaches us the scriptures. And I'm telling you what is happening in your life today. I'm not just reading what happened 2,000 years ago. And we're going to talk about this before we begin First Thessalonians, but you are not to read the Bible and extract some teachings and you apply them to your life. That's not how you read the Bible. What you must do is that you have to come to the Bible and see what has happened to you through these stories. It will tell you what happened to you, what is happening to you, and what will happen to you. It's your story. So, I'm going to read what I typed here. But you're going to hear it and you go, wait a minute, I read that in Book of Luke. But now what you need to do is hear it as describing your life right now. Jesus comes to us. You saw Him coming to disciples after resurrection. And meets them and teaches them the scripture. He opens our eyes. He explains the word of God to us. He makes our hearts burning within us. He opens our minds to understand the scripture. Our Lord works all of this through the Holy Spirit and God's Word. Our Lord works all this. Now God provides us the means of grace the Word and the Sacrament, the Word and the Lord's Supper, the Holy Spirit causes us to truly hear the Word of God. He causes us to believe. And through Lord's Supper, as we break the bread with Jesus, He causes us to recognize our Lord. He opens our eyes to see Him. The Scriptures are explained and understood and believed, and Jesus is recognized. And we have fellowship with Him with joy. All those things happen to Jesus Christ and His disciples. But I'm telling you that that is description of your life today. What do you think it is happening? Is God, Jesus Christ, ignoring you? Or He came to you? Is He having fellowship with you? Is He teaching you His Word? Explaining the Scriptures to you, opening your eyes and your minds to see Christ? Yes, that's what He is doing even now. We're talking about your life. What is happening in your life? So with tremendous joy, we worship our God and praise His holy name. With tremendous joy and thanksgiving, we live our lives as Jesus' witnesses in our own ends of the world. And yes, He is coming again. And until that day, Jesus will always be with us. He will visibly consummate all of God's salvation for His people, yes. But understand what He is doing until that day when He visibly comes back to us. You are so blessed. You know, I don't fully know what is really happening in your life unless you tell me. But I know you are blessed. That God is with you, He's working in you, He lives with you, He fellowships with you. Oh, you are so precious to Him. Enjoy His presence with you every single moment of His life. And that's what I want to say as we end this. All that we talked about, yes, it's about Christ. But because we are united to Christ, all that is our life. That it is our present, spiritual, heavenly reality. Yes, Bible is about Jesus Christ, but it is also about us. You gotta believe that this is what is happening right now. Yeah, you don't see Christ with you. You don't see Him coming to you. You don't see Him teaching you Word. You don't see Him opening your eyes and your hearts. But it is happening in your life every single moment. He will not leave you alone. That's how not only we see ourselves, but we must see others the same way. When you look at me, you're not just looking at young Kim. You are looking at young Kim with Christ, in Christ. There's no such thing as young Kim without Christ anymore. There's no such person. If you want to find young Kim without Christ,
or you will fail. Because there is no such person. From now and forever, I am always with Christ. You cannot separate me from Christ. Not even in your thinking, you cannot do that. Because you're thinking falsehood if you do that. Oh, brothers and sisters, I want you to understand how blessed you are. Oh, you might not have much in this world, or you are very sick, or whatever happening in your life. It doesn't mean that Jesus is stopped loving you. And there's no way for Jesus to love you more than how much he loves you right now. He will always love you with his best love. That's just how God is. So, please go home and read the book of Luke once again and see what happened to you. See who you are in Christ. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for your Bible, clearly written for us, what your Son has done, what he has accomplished for us, and who he is. And because of all that, it also shows what happened to us and who we have become. And what kind of heavenly realities that we possess, even now, and able to enjoy that realities. Oh, Father, let us live by faith, always believing Jesus Christ and what he has done and what he has accomplished for us. Let us live that joyful life that you have given us. And let us love you. Love you with everything we have. Oh, Father, make us love you more and more. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.